Well, I think the 55th Psalm probably articulates some of the feelings that we may have here in our city since last weekend. My heart pounds within me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me. I would soon find a shelter from the raging wind and storm. I see violence and strife in the city. But in response to that, we heard St. Paul tell us that we should not be overcome by evil. Now, the fruits of being overcome by evil are many. Among them is fear and hatred and violence. Those poor souls who are infected with neo-Nazi and white supremacist ideology have been overcome by evil. Their actions are motivated by fear and by hatred and by violence. But St. Paul writes to the Christians at Rome and to us Christians, telling us that we are not to be overcome by evil as well. In other words, he's telling us not to be afraid, not to harbor hatred or contempt in our hearts, not to make war. Instead, he tells us to overcome evil with good. So how do we do that? Well, our Master Jesus Christ tells us how to do it. It is to love our enemies. There is nothing so radical as that, which is why it's hardly ever been tried. But that's what Jesus tells us to do. However, our inclination, our natural human inclination, is to attack evil. Why? Because it's evil, for Pete's sake. Of course we want to attack it. You know, marginalizing or persecuting or killing people because of the color of their skin or their religion is evil. Okay? But we got to be careful, too, because there's a very subtle danger when we attack evil, because it locates evil outside of ourselves and puts it out there. Those are the bad people. That's the evil empire. And we run the risk of the dangerous self-righteous illusion that we, however, are not evil. There's no evil in us. We are the good and pure people. And when we get into that space, we can get to the point of justifying anything. And so Jesus tells us that we will be sons and daughters of God. We will be children of God only one way. And that is that we have that family resemblance to our Father who gives beautiful sunny days like today to neo-Nazis as well as to us. And Jesus proposes the radical notion that if we only love those who think like us, so what? A Christian author, a kind of popular Christian author, who was in town on Saturday, wrote how inspired he was by clergy and other faith leaders who provided water and other support to, quote, anti-racism protesters, end quote. And when I read that, the first thing I thought of was what St. Paul says in our first reading. Quoting Proverbs chapter 25, verse 21. If your enemy is thirsty, give him drink. I would have been far more inspired if clergy and other faith leaders were providing water to their enemies also. Blessed Charles de Foucault, who was violently murdered by terrorists in the Sahara Desert in 1916, wrote once that Jesus wanted his name, Savior, to express his life's work, the salvation of souls. And as disciples of Jesus, Brother Charles wrote, we are to see in every human being someone to be saved. So how do we love our enemies? How do we save their souls? How do we enter into dialogue with them? The story that really inspired me about something that happened on Saturday was the story about a small group of heavily armed white militiamen who were trying to get to a parking lot near South Street, but they were blocked by a formidable wall of counter-protesters. And one black woman walked up to one of these heavily armed white militiamen, and she said, "Why are you here?" And he proceeded to explain to her why he came to the Unite the Right rally. He said that he was not a racist, he was not an anti-Semite, but he was just a patriot who loves our country and our Constitution, et cetera, et cetera. And she retorted, "Okay, but why are you still here?" And he said, "Ma'am, we just want to get in our cars and go home." And so this woman, with the help of a couple other people, arranged for some policemen to come and escort this group of militiamen through the angry crowd and to their cars. That story is so remarkable to me for three reasons. Number one, this courageous woman went into a standoff where there were heavily armed people and angry people. They may have been armed too, I don't know. But a potentially explosive situation. And she de-escalated the tension. Number two, she did an act of kindness to somebody on the other side. And number three, she entered into dialogue with him. "Why are you here? Let me hear what you have to say. What are you doing here?" Wow, that blew me away. Talk about inspiring. You know, St. Jerome, one of the four great fathers of the Western Church, wrote in commentary on our first reading that heaping coals of kindness on one who has wronged you can cure him of vices, burn away his malice, and move him to repentance. I don't know, but maybe that militiaman and his companions were brought a little bit closer to conversion on Saturday. Brothers and sisters, we come here tonight so that we can put on the mind of Christ, who we profess to follow. And if we love, and if we put on the mind of Christ, it's radical. It's absolutely radical, and it's not popular. Because if we love our enemies, we might be hated by those who hate our enemies. And if we love our enemies, we might even be killed by the enemies we're trying to love. But maybe, just maybe, with Jesus by our side, we can save a soul.